Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Hey, everybody. This is Jason Shepherd. Thank you so much for listening to Deep Blue. It's been fun bringing you the true stories of the BYU Cougar athletes and coaches that you cheer for. We're going to take a couple of weeks off for Christmas and for New Year's. We're going to be back in the new year with great interviews and great guests. But before we break for the holidays, we wanted to share with you an episode from one of our other great BYU Radio Sports podcasts. This one comes from the Her Why podcast. Lauren McLean covers the best stories from BYU women's sports. In this episode, Lauren chats with BYU soccer keeper Lynette Hernandez. Lauren's chat with Lynette happened before the start of the Cougars' run to the College Cup, but it's a great interview that covers Lynette's conversion to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and her transfer to BYU. We hope you enjoy it, and we'll talk to you again in the new year.
Her triumphs? I took a group of women that didn't believe in themselves, and I just believed in them.
Her trials?
I never wanted to go to practice. I was losing a ton of weight.
Her story?
I just put my faith in God and just trusted the system.
Her why?
I want people to see what I did and say, oh, that's so awesome. I'm going to be better than that. That would be how I hope that this journey ends.
This is Her Why, where we tell the stories from BYU women's sports. Here is your host, Lauren McLean.
We're so glad you've joined us for Her Why, where we celebrate the women who make BYU sports great. Today, we're joined by BYU soccer freshman goalkeeper Lynette Hernandez, who hails from Corona, California. She was one of the top youth goalkeepers in the country coming out of high school, where she then committed to Washington State before deciding to transfer to BYU. Thanks so much for coming on here with me, Lynette.
Thank you for having me.
So good to have you. Let's start from the beginning. You have four younger siblings. What was
three,
it like?
Three
younger siblings. Okay.
That's a
Your bio's wrong.
I know. We need to fix that.
Rude. Maybe there's one in heaven. You never know. What was it like growing up as the oldest in your family?
I feel like with a lot of responsibility, you know, being the oldest, we have to take care of all the younger ones. Yeah, that's basically it.
How many boys and how many girls?
So I have two younger brothers. Mason is now 18 years old. He just graduated from high school. Maddox is now 13. And then I have a baby sister, Lainey Rose, who is 5 years old.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. She was the straggler at the end.
Definitely was.
What was the dynamic of your family? Were you guys competitive? Did you all play sports? What was it like?
Oh, yeah. Very, very competitive. Like, every game we play, we're all in. That's why I love my family, how competitive we are. Because, like, when we play just a simple game, we're, like, you know, teasing each other and trying to win. And we're definitely a family full of sports. My family's a big baseball family.
Okay.
And somehow I ended up playing soccer.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So your family's big baseball. Did you play softball growing up?
I did, yeah.
So how did you transition from softball to soccer?
So I was playing softball for about 3 years, and I was just telling my mom, like, this is kind of boring. And,
really?
Like, I'm in the outfield, and I'm chasing butterflies, and I said I want to play a different sport. And so my cousin was about to play soccer, and so she's like, oh, let's put you on the same team with your cousin. So I started playing soccer with her, and I just fell in love with that sport more than softball, and I stuck with it ever since.
Were your parents bummed since you guys were a baseball family?
Oh, my goodness. My mom was so sad. She was like, are you sure? Like, are you sure you really want to play softball? Like, I was like, no, I don't want to play softball. I want to play soccer. She's like, come on. Like, I know you love it. And, like, we were winning. Like, my softball team was awesome. We were first place. We won every year. And I just didn't have fun with it.
Well, there you go. You got to do what you love.
I know.
And you found that love in soccer. When did you know that soccer could be something you could play at the next level?
You know, since I was a little girl, I always knew I wanted to play college soccer. And I know, like, since I was, like, 8 years old, I had my life planned out. I was like, hey, I want to be on this club team eventually. I want to go to a college and, like, get a full ride somewhere. I want to go and be a dentist eventually. And so far, like, I have done that. And I remember I was talking to these parents, and they were telling me how, like, the goalkeepers are the ones who actually have a better chance of getting recruited, a better chance of getting more money, and, like, you should totally, like, do that. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I just stuck with that. And then here I am. I got to go to a club team that I actually wanted to be on.
Wow.
It was SoCal Blues. We were the number one team in the nation for, oh my gosh, that team was amazing. They won like 8 national championships. I got to be part of two with it. We should have been 3, but COVID year, you know, took that away from me. But yeah.
How cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure your height played into that too. Were they 100%. Like, you're tall. Maybe you want to be a goalkeeper. That play into it a little bit?
For the goalkeeper part, so what happened was, high cut came with it, but I was still pretty average when I was younger. What happened was we had a starting goalkeeper, and we're still young. She wanted to play on the field still, so we're like, okay, we need a backup keeper. So everyone got an opportunity to be in goal, and I was the only kid who was brave enough to actually be behind the ball and catch it. And so I actually loved it, and I loved that I was the only one that was able to do it. So I was like, this is what I wanted to do. So I was playing on the field for a bit, and eventually I just ended up staying as a keeper because I fell in love with that more.
You ended up being one of the top keepers in the country coming out of Santiago High School. What was your recruitment process like at that point?
At that point, coming out of high school, I was already committed to Washington State University. I committed there my sophomore year of high school. So pretty early on, our class of girls at Santiago High School, we all committed our sophomore years of high school.
So did you have other offers your sophomore year?
I was just like looking into schools. Like everything was like so new. Like sophomore year was a year where everyone started talking to me. So all the Ivy League schools were looking into me. I was looking into Notre Dame. I was in little contact with UCLA, and then Washington State came, offered me right away. And I honestly fell in love with the school automatically, and I was offered a full ride there. And so I was like, well, what more can I even ask of this? And they're in the Pac-12 program, and it seemed like my future would have been really bright there, and so that's why I chose that right away. It just felt right.
It felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And within that time, you were baptized a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How old were you when that happened?
I was 18 years old.
18. How were you introduced to the church initially?
It was my junior year of high school. So it was this group of friends I met. My friend Sadie was on the soccer team with me. And that year at school, all my friends I normally hang out with had a different lunch than I did.
Hmm.
And so the lunch I had was with Sadie, and she invited me to come out to lunch with her and her friends. And I remember we went to Wendy's, and we're sitting down at lunch, and these are all new people I never met before. And at lunch, they're like, someone was talking about how they're preparing for a talk on Sunday and how they're nervous. And I was like, oh, what's on Sunday? And they're like, oh, we go to church. And I asked them, what church do you go to? And they told me the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they asked if I ever heard of it. And I said, no, I never heard of it before. And they're trying to explain to me where it was at, and trying to tell me there's multiple churches. And I was like, really? Yeah, I don't know where it's at. And then my friend Sadie asked me, she's like, oh, have you heard the word Mormon before? And I've heard that term before, but honestly, I did not know much about it.
Yeah.
And she was like, have you seen the guys on the bikes before with the white suits? I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen those guys. Who are they?
Yeah.
And they explained to me. And so we that whole entire lunch, we had a conversation about church and things like that. And for me, I've always grown up very spiritual, but we never as a family went to church. But in high school, though, at that time, that was a time where I was seeking Christ. My freshman and sophomore year of high school, I went to the Catholic Church. My family and my extended family are very active in the Catholic Church. And so my goal was to hopefully get my family to start going back to church and also for me to learn who Jesus Christ was. So my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I actually went to the Catholic Church for 2 whole years every Sunday. And I actually got my first communion and my confirmation in the church, and just soccer kind of came in the way again, and life got busy. I always put soccer first before God. So my junior year, when I met these friends and they're talking about church, I thought that was the coolest thing ever, because I don't know anyone else my age who wants to learn about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were talking about that, I wanted to learn more.
So it sounds like you've always had a draw to God, even since you were younger. Do you know where that stemmed from, or do you just feel like that's how you are?
Honestly, I feel like that's how I am, because when I was, my family always tells me this. Ever since I was a little girl, like, I always asked who God was, who Jesus Christ was. And my grandparents who live with me, they would try to teach me things. And my grandma would always teach me all the Catholic prayers. And so every night I would say prayers with my grandma. So I don't know. Since I was a little girl, like, I always knew we needed to go to church, that we were missing that. Like, I always felt we were missing that part of our lives.
You meet these friends, and they're unique, like you are. And at what point are you introduced to the missionaries?
It's not till a year after my senior year of high school. That whole entire year of, like, me and my friends and being with them, that was the time for them to soften my heart and, like, help me, like, just tip my toes in the water. My family, they were very, like, they're very set on me wanting to be Catholic. So when I told them about my new Mormon friends, they're like, hey, like, they're going to try to baptize you. And I was like, well, what's so wrong? Like, what's so bad about that? And they're like, you're Catholic and you're only going to be Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so that whole entire year, I had, like, these walls up of, like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. But my friends were such awesome missionaries, and they had no idea, like, how good they were. They would invite me to everything. And I would say no for, like, the longest time. I kept saying, no, I don't want to go. Like, no, that's not me. And then finally, I eventually said yes to going to a, like, ward activity. And so I went to this ward activity. I remember meeting all these people, and I even met students who I never knew were members either. And I was like, wait, you're a member? Like, you go to church? And seeing all these people, I was like, wait, like, everyone's so nice. Like, I actually know so many people here, which is so weird. I didn't know, like, they went to church. And from that, like, little point on, like, I started opening up to going to more activities, started going to young women activities and a little bit more ward activities and, like, state activities where, like, they're playing, like, ultimate frisbee and basketball and volleyball. So I started just, like, immersing myself in getting to know more people.
At what point were you like, I want this to be a part of my life forever?
It was the first Sunday I went to church. So my best friend, he was leaving to go to BYU, and he was a year older than us. So it was his last Sunday, and he was like, hey, like, come with me to church. And I was like, fine, like, only because you're leaving us, like, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
And so I went to church that Sunday, and it was I'm trying to remember if it was Fast and Testimony meeting or if it was just a normal Sunday. All I just remember, though, was that within those 2 hours of church, which I also felt like it was a long 2 hours, but within 2 hours of church, I felt like it was the most I've ever learned about Jesus Christ and, like, who my Savior was and how much he loved me compared to 2 years of me going to, you know, the Catholic Church. And because of that, that made me realize, like, I want to learn more about him. I thought I knew him, but I need to learn actually about his life and what he can do for me. And so after that Sunday, I started going to church every Sunday, and I started going with my friend Sadie to her ward. And within a month of going to church, I realized that, like, I needed more. I'm like, okay, church on Sundays once a week is not enough for me. So I started reading the Book of Mormon. And the Book of Mormon was, like, at first I thought it was going to be hard, but well, I was only in First Nephi, but it was actually something I was able to understand, and I felt like I can relate to Nephi and his family very much. And so it was a book that I felt like, wow, like, I'm actually bringing me closer to Jesus Christ. But again, like, I wanted to learn more about everything, all about the church. And so I started going to seminary. And so seminary was my next thing I did. And that was early morning seminary. And my mom was like, what are you doing? Like, like, why do you want to get up so early before school? And I told her, like, Mom, I'm learning about Jesus Christ. And she was like, are you sure you're learning about Jesus Christ? And I'm like, yes, like, I'm 100% sure. Like, the Book of Mormon, it's all about Jesus Christ. And so I went to seminary sometimes even more than my own friends going to seminary. And it got to a point in seminary where I was like, okay, like, I feel like I'm now, like, learning about the Book of Mormon. I feel like I'm going to church and, like, I'm learning about, like, the like, basic principles of Christ. But, like, I want to learn everything now. And so that was a point now. This is now like my senior year of high school and the beginning of my senior year of high school where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to meet with the missionaries. So I did things on my own for about like 3 months. And then finally I was like, hey, Sadie, like, I want to meet with those guys with the ties. And so then we set it up and started meeting the missionaries at her house.
The guys with the ties. And spoiler alert, because you served your own mission. Now looking back, you're like, I was the golden investigator.
I know. It's so funny thinking about that. Like becoming a missionary and looking back at my missionary experience, like with the missionaries, I'm like, wow, like I was so stubborn. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. But I'm sure those missionaries were like, thank you. Thank you so much. So then you decide to get baptized. What was that experience like for you?
So the process of getting, the process of getting baptized was a little, just a little tough. My family wanted to make sure like this is exactly what I wanted. And so they made me wait until I was 18 years old. So it took me 10 months to get baptized. Within the 8 months, I was, you know, meeting with the missionaries. And within 8 months of meeting with them, that's when I finally realized the church was true, that the Book of Mormon was true. And then I realized that because I saw the difference the Book of Mormon made in my life, especially in high school. And I saw, like, when I was reading the Book of Mormon, that I felt like I was doing better with my grades in school. I felt like I was doing better with soccer. And especially, I felt like I was being a better daughter and sister. And the coolest part was my mom says something about it. She's like, wow, like, I feel like you've been nicer lately. I'm like, really? Okay. See, like, it's working. And so when I told my mom at 8 months I wanted to get baptized, again, like, she told me to wait till my 18th birthday. So it felt like the longest 2 months of my life ever because I was so excited. I was like, I know I'm going to get baptized. On my 18th birthday, like, the morning I turned 18, I woke up. The very first thing I did was I called my bishop. And I was like, hey, I'm 18 years old. I want to schedule my baptism. And he is like, pause on the phone. He's like, okay, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, okay. And so I scheduled my baptism for June 13th. And then after that, I went to my parents' room. And they're like, happy birthday. I'm like, thank you so much. By the way, I'm getting baptized on June 13th. If you want to come, you should, like, you totally should. If you don't, like, I understand. And my parents told me, like, you have proven to us, like, this is something you actually love and that you are so committed to it. So because of that, we want to support you. And so,
They were there.
They were there. Wow. And it was the most perfect day ever. It was a day I'm never going to forget. And the coolest part is, like, every time now when I see baptisms or my friends who I taught in the mission, when I saw their baptisms, like, of course, it always helps me remember my own and my own promises I made with God. So I just love it.
How has your family changed or even their mindset and their perspective now that you've been a member for a while?
If you ask my parents, they would tell you that I was a big part in influencing them to go back to church.
Cool.
So my family now goes to church. They go to Crossroads in Corona. It's this big Christian church. And my mom's now totally involved in the community, as well as my dad, which is so cool to see. All my siblings actually just got baptized themselves in that Christian church, and as well as my parents. And my parents did, like, a big 180, like, from not going to church, and now every Sunday they try to go to church or they watch it online. And, you know, at first I was sad that it wasn't with me, but now, like, looking at it, I'm like, wow, like, my parents are finally putting Christ in their lives in their own ways and trying to become their best selves because I started that for myself. So I was glad and happy to know that I was able to, you know, push them in direction towards God. So I'm just so proud of my family.
Such an incredible story. I love that so much. How has becoming a member changed your perspective on life and sports and soccer?
It has completely changed everything, especially because of the mission. Before I left on my mission, the mission is what really changed everything for me. Before I left on my mission, you know, soccer was my life. Ride or die, that's what I want. That's the only thing I care about. And on my mission is when I learned how to not just care about my own passions and my own future, but everyone else's. And I learned so much how to love others, especially, like, to love others who may not love you back, and how to really rely on my Savior and talk to him, and especially, like, understanding if it's God's will and not my own will, and making sure everything I do is for Heavenly Father, and that He wants me to do those things right. When I came back from my mission, I realized that I still have a great passion for soccer and I want to become the best I possibly can be. But it also is a good reminder that soccer is not forever, which is a sad thing to say. It's so sad to say that, but it is not forever. And there's a bigger picture, and that's, you know, our eternal life with Heavenly Father. And so the biggest thing I learned was that I need to strive to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, always and constantly, and always constantly trying to improve. And so that's what I definitely learned.
Incredible. That's so incredible. I want to rewind a little bit from when you decided to go on a mission. What was kind of the thing that pushed you over the edge, like, okay, yes, I'm going to serve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got baptized. I was at Washington State. I was only a member for 3 months. That's it. And, you know, my plan was to be at, you know, Washington State for all 4 years. But what happened was I started being a missionary, which was so cool. my roommate, who was also my teammate, she started coming to church with me every Sunday. She saw that I was going to church. She's like, "Where are you going?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to church. You want to come?" She's like, "Yeah, I want to come." I was like, "Oh," she said, "Yes. Okay, like, let's go." And so we started going to church on Sundays, and we started reading the Book of Mormon together. And then I got her in contact with the missionaries. So I was now being the one, like, teaching and not being taught. And I loved it. It was so fun. And the coolest part was that, like, I felt like I was making a difference, especially, like, my best friend's life. And she would tell me, like, "Wow, like, this is amazing. Like, this has completely changed my life. Like, I love the Book of Mormon. Like, I know it's true." And, like, for me to see, like, my best friend do that, my teammate, I was like, wow, like, missionary work is the coolest thing ever. And I love it. And I think I might want to go serve a mission. And that thought terrified me. Because I was like, well, if I choose to serve a mission, what's going to happen with soccer? What's going to happen with my scholarship? What's my parents going to say?
Yeah.
I just got baptized. So I had all these, like, these doubts that I couldn't do it. But again, like, I kept helping them, like, the missionaries. They'd take me out with them to go teach other people. And I kept teaching different people and meeting all these different people already with different backgrounds. And I was like, I was already basically a missionary with them. And I was like, no, like, I love this. I love this. And so one night I was literally dreaming about serving a mission. I was thinking it. My dream was, like, I was in a different foreign country and I was speaking a different language. I have no idea what language I was speaking in my dream. But I was speaking a different language, and I was like, and I woke up and I was like, okay, like I know I want to go. So I prayed about it to God and I was like, hey, like, these are my worries. These are my concerns. Like, I don't know what to do right now. So I said a prayer, and then immediately after my prayer, I turned to the scriptures. And I went in the Book of Mormon, and I wish I can tell you the exact chapter. I know it was in 35, but it was like verses 32, 33. It's the scriptures where it says, like, if you put the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. So, like, that was a scripture where I felt the Spirit so strongly telling me, like, God's telling me, saying, like, He knows the things that I need, but if I put Him first, I do His work first, He's going to promise me that He will give me everything that I need after I return. Mm-hmm. And so that was my answer. And so the next day I went to my coaches at Washington State and I told them that I wanted to serve, and they said, yeah, go serve. Like, I was the first member on the team. And so they're like, we want to support you in any way. This is so awesome that you want to spiritually grow, and, like, we want to be there for you.
Good for those coaches.
I know.
That's incredible.
And it's amazing.
I'm curious what happened with your best friend that started investigating the church.
So my best friend, she is amazing. She's still learning about the Gospels years now. And so same, like, kind of similar situation where her family is not fully supportive of her being baptized. And so, like, you know, that's hard when, like, your family's not with you. And so she had a desire to be baptized, and she's still going to different churches and trying to figure out where she wants to go. But she told me that she knew the Book of Mormon was true. And so I know that she's going to keep that with her. I'm going to keep trying to be that missionary I can be and just be that awesome friend. But the other friend, though, that she introduced me to her name is Chloe, and Chloe met with the missionaries, and she got baptized.
Oh,
so
cool.
I did get to see at least one friend be baptized in Washington.
Man, you're doing so many incredible things. So you decide to put in your papers, and you get called to the Salt Lake City South Mission. Yeah. What was your reaction when you opened your call?
Okay, I was so excited. I know everyone, like, gets a call to Utah, most people are, like, disappointed. But for me, I was so excited. And the reason why was, like, okay, I'm going to Utah. Like, I'm going to the promised land. Like, everyone's members there. And, like, I can figure out, like, how to be a member myself. And so being called to Utah was so perfect for me. I got to see such awesome families in the gospel. And from those members, I truly learned lifelong discipleship from them, from their example. So I was so happy to be called here.
How long have you been home now?
I've been home now for 9 months.
9 months.
Oh, isn't that so crazy?
What are some of the challenges you feel like you've faced since coming back from a mission? Because when you're on a mission, it's a whole new world, and that's the only thing you're worrying about. And then you come back to the real world, and it's kind of strange. So have you faced any challenges since coming back?
100%. I mean, like you said, the missionary world is completely different. Your one purpose and your sole purpose is helping others come into Christ. And so that was my one priority I had, my only priority. So coming back home, my biggest struggle was now school, soccer, family, still Jesus Christ,
yeah.
And like all these other different priorities coming along. And so I think the struggle coming home for me was balancing that back out. I feel like now I kind of decently have it figured together. But when I first got here to school, like I was so focused on my social life because I didn't have any friends up here. So I was like, okay, I want to make new friends. But then I was like, wait, there's school still.
Yeah.
So I need to focus on school. And then I'm trying to get back into soccer. For soccer, for me, I think the biggest struggle for soccer was just trying to get back into shape. 18 months without, like, getting a real hard workout in. So getting back into cardio shape again, getting strong again, and you know, that takes time. And I'm, you know, we're still working on it. You hear it, how it takes years for, you know, people become super strong and for bodybuilders become who they are. So it's taking time. I feel really great where I'm at now within 9 months. Like, I feel healthy again. I feel like I can catch my breath finally. And so right now, it's so far good.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll hear more about why Lynette decided to transfer from BYU to Washington State. This is Her Why. Welcome back to Her Why. I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here with freshman goalkeeper Lynette Hernes from the BYU women's soccer team. Lynette, I didn't ask you before, and I want to ask you, what was your family's reaction when you told them you were serving a mission for the church?
It was an interesting reaction. So I told my parents that I wanted to go serve a mission. And the minute I told them that, you know, they had a lot of worries and concerns because my parents did so much for me to help me get where I was at. They were, obviously all of our parents has guys, like all of us players who are games and our tournaments, and they're a big part of helping me get recruited for Washington State. So the minute I told them that, they were just worried that I wasn't going to be able to play soccer again, and they're freaking out about what's going to happen to my scholarship, and I told them I have to pay for my admission. So they were like, well, we can't afford that, so how are you going to pay for that?
Yeah.
And so they had all these concerns and worries, but when I told them that I was going to figure this out. So on my own for a month, I was like, okay, I need to make a plan for this. I just started by telling my coaches I wanted to serve. And again, they said, yes, go serve. I was like, awesome. And then I got so lucky, and again, this is Heavenly Father helping me out here. I was able to find a job. And as a student athlete, that is so hard to even have a job. But the thing was, one of my teammates had a job, and she was leaving that year. She was graduating, and she was like, hey, you can have my job when I'm done. And all she did was work at the Washington State Research Company, and she was just an intern there and just helped out around. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And so she hooked me up with that job, and that job was what was able to help me save up for my mission. Hmm. And so when I told my parents the plan, I told them, like, hey, like, Washington State said I can stay and play for them afterwards, and I still have my scholarship when I get back. Also, I found a job for my mission. And I told her a story. What really helped my mom was this story. I totally forgot about this. His name's Tanner McKee. He is an awesome quarterback. He played at Stanford. He's now, I believe, on the Eagles for professional football. But he was in our stake back at home. And everyone knows him as this awesome football player, this quarterback. And he decided to serve a mission. And he served a two-year mission in Brazil, I believe. And I told her the story. I'm like, you know Tanner McKee. You know his story of how amazing he was. But guess what? He served a mission. And he's now back and he's playing at Stanford. He's starting at Stanford. So if he can do it, then I can do it too. And my mom was like, fine, if this is what you want, go ahead. I'm going to be there for you. I'm not happy about this, but we'll be there to support you. And so I'm so grateful for examples like Tanner McKee.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all student athletes who served the mission and came back and given me confidence that I can do it too.
And you're going to be that for so many other people, I guarantee it. So you serve an incredible mission. You come back. What made you decide to transfer from Washington State to BYU?
So I had that all set up, right? I had basically everything I possibly could ask for. There is just this aching feeling in my heart, though, that saying like that Washington State was not going to be the place for me all 4 years. Mm. And that made me so sad because I truly thought that's the place where I wanted to be. But now being a member and, like, knowing about BYU and just hearing about how in classes we're praying in class and everything revolves around Jesus Christ here. And especially how, like, the women's soccer team, you know, they are representatives of Jesus Christ themselves as soccer players. And I thought about that and I was like, wow, like, I would love to be one of those players. I'd love to be in that environment with so many faithful members. And so what I did was I told my coaches that I'm so grateful for everything they have given me since I was a sophomore in high school. You know, years I've been committed to them. And I showed them that. And I proved to them that I was there for them. But I also proved to them that I put Christ first and that means everything to me. And I told them, I was like, hey, like, listen, I'm interested in going to BYU. And I want to know if I can be there, and I don't want to regret this not trying in my life. And so I asked them, like, can you please let me try to go to BYU? And if they don't want me, then I'm going to stay here. But that's the only school I never tried for, and I want to try. And they were like, okay, like, you have proven to us that this is truly for your religion and that they're like, we did nothing wrong. And so obviously told me the rules of how, like, I can get, like, I can't get in contact with BYU. I can't do any of that. So they told me that they were going to do that for me.
Oh,
and so my coaches, I am so grateful for literally Todd and all of them for helping me with this. So what they did was they just called Jen themselves. They're like, hey, we have this keeper. She's a member of your church. And she's thinking about coming over after serving her mission. And Jen was like, we'll take her. And so I got so lucky, and I'm so grateful for Jen. So Jen has never seen me play, ever, and she took me on. And
oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? If you ask Jen, Jen will tell you. She's like, yeah, like, I just felt like, you know, we need another keeper, and, like, I felt right about this. Never saw her play, but I felt like this was what Heavenly Father wanted me to do, so I did it.
So you didn't even get to meet Jen until after your mission?
I met Jen right before my mission.
Okay.
So I came up there to BYU because I wanted to see the campus.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, where am I going?
I hadn't took a visit myself. I didn't know Jen at all. I didn't know the team at all. And so I basically committed to the school without fully knowing everything.
Yeah.
And so, like, in June, I went up here to BYU, and I finally got to meet the coaching staff, and I got to meet the players, and I actually had the best week of my life up here. So it was perfect. I had one good week right before I left on my mission, so it was awesome.
So then you served in Salt Lake. That probably helped a little bit, ingraining yourself in the LDS culture that you really hadn't grown up in at all, even though you were a member. Utah's a whole different beast, and then Provo is a whole different beast as well. So you've been in Provo since January. Mm-hmm. How have you been adjusting?
Oh, I love it here. Oh, my goodness. What's so different, I'm guessing this is so different compared to anywhere else in the nation, I love that everyone here that I met so far in Provo, like, everyone wants to, like, do things and hang out and, like, go out and have fun, like, times, like, in the mountains and hiking. And they want to make friends. Like, everyone wants to make friends here. And so I feel like everyone here has been so inclusive and, like, welcoming and just honestly so fun. Wholesome fun, which is, like, you won't find that anywhere else. Yeah.
It's definitely different. What's it been like with your new teammates and the chemistry this year?
They're so awesome. The team is, like, rock solid on chemistry. It's so cool. You know, like, we have all of our return seniors. We have a solid team that has been playing with each other for a while. And so you can just feel the love on the squad. Everyone is so encouraging, which is something different as well I never experienced. I feel like growing up, like, playing on club teams, we're just, like, nervous girls, so we don't, like, say too much. Like, we encourage, but not, like, really.
Totally.
And then I felt like my experience at Washington State, like, I was a nervous 18-year-old girl, freshman. Everyone was bigger than me. And also, like, it was very competitive and felt, like, really intense. And, you know, that competitive and intenseness is still here on the team, but it's more, like, of, like, encouraging and loving and, like, saying, like, hey, like, I know we're competing for the same spot, but, like, I'm going to help you because I want you to be better so you can push me to be better type of deal. So it's, like, it's so different. Yeah. And I feel like that's why we're such an awesome team and absolutely a team that can win the national championship because of how much love, how much faith we have, and how much drive we have to, like, be the best of the best.
Ooh, incredible. Mm-hmm. I love that. What are some of your personal goals this season?
This season, obviously, you got to keep working to try to get that starting spot. Personal goals for me is just trying to clean things up. I feel like, honestly, I didn't lose too much coming back from the mission. So I'm just trying to tie up, like, my passes, make it cleaner, my catches cleaner, being explosive, being just a little bit more explosive. So, like, those are my personal goals. It's just, like, now striving for perfection.
My last question for you is, what advice do you have for any young girl that's trying to make it to the collegiate level in soccer?
My advice for them would be definitely making sure you do your extra trainings on your own and finding people to support you. So, like, I have so many people who got me here today. Like, I have my club coach, right? But I have so many other coaches who got me here. People who invested their time in me and helped me just 1% every time. And so I encourage everyone to build a soccer family. Build people who want to help you succeed and help you reach your goals.
We're here with BYU soccer freshman goalkeeper Lynette Hernandez. Thank you so much for telling your incredible story. I'm just a huge fan of yours now. Not even just in soccer, but just in life. I just think you're going to do incredible things, and you already have. So thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You can download and listen to all episodes of Her Why on the BYU Radio app or wherever you find podcasts. Her Why is a production of BYU Radio.